Thanks for choosing this GLT podcast. While it's free to you, it's not free to produce. Take a moment and make a contribution to help pay for this program. Go to WGLT.org, and thanks.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Earth Day is Sunday. To mark the occasion, today's Sound Ideas is a panel discussion from the recent Sustainable Living and Wellness Expo at Illinois Wesleyan University. Straight Up Solar's Director of Business Development, Shannon Fulton, says the Illinois Future Energy Jobs Act is sending solar and wind developers across the nation a clear sign Illinois is ready for more, and solar companies from across the country are coming to the state.
These are companies that recognize the richness of the solar policies in the Future Energy Jobs Act and see it as being sustainable and long-lasting.
The act is supposed to stimulate job production and preserve local. All that and a GLT news update on the way. This is Sound Ideas on GLT.
Support for the Sound Ideas podcast comes from listener contributions to GLT, with additional support from Country Financial Representative Justin M. Boyd. Information at justinmboyd.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy, and welcome to the Illinois Wesleyan University Shirk Center and the Illinois Sustainable Living and Wellness Expo. GLT, the Ecology Action Center, and IWU are partnering to bring you this renewable energy panel. During this edition of Sound Ideas, heard weekdays at noon, we'll explore an uptick in solar and wind farms in McLean County, the regulatory hoops to site those farms, the role the Future Energy Jobs Act is playing in boosting energy efficiency and renewable energy. Joining us for this on-location edition of Sound Ideas are three guests. Shannon Fulton is the Director of Business Development for Straight Up Solar, involved in a past partnership with the Ecology Action Center and the Midwest Renewable Energy Association that helped home and business owners in Bloomington Normal pool their buying power to secure discounts that made installing solar more affordable. She's also past president of the Illinois Solar Energy Association, and she serves on the policy committee. Peter Milberg is Senior Manager for Regulatory Compliance for Ameren, Illinois. He's a 30-year veteran of the company and its predecessor companies. He served in various operating, marketing, and economic and regulatory functions over his career. In his current position, Milberg has provided regulatory support on generator interconnections and net metering since the Illinois rules on those activities first went into effect in 2008. And Drake Zimmerman is a 10-year member of the McLean County Zoning Board of Appeals, tasked with granting permission and helping to site wind and solar farms in the county, and he's chaired some of the committees examining wind and solar in the county. Thanks to all of you for your time on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it. Shannon, let's start with you. The Future Energy Jobs Act passed in December of 2016. It's supposed to stimulate job creation, enhance Illinois' position as a leader in the clean energy economy, and preserve low rates. What sort of impact has this act had over the past year?
It's had a significant impact on solar company, on the solar industry in particular. As a member of the Illinois Solar Energy Association and in leadership in its policy committee, we are seeing companies, solar companies from across the country, coming into the state of Illinois, and they have been for really the past 8 months, I'd say. And these are companies that have been in more solar mature states, if we want to put it that way, like California, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts. These are companies that recognize the richness of the solar policies in the Future Energy Jobs Act and see it as being sustainable and long-lasting.
And Shannon, at Ameren, Illinois, we've seen exactly what you're talking about. We have seen an explosion of interest from out of state, especially developers who are looking at participating in the community solar market. So, yeah, combining that interest that we've seen just on our end from the inquiries, just asking general questions about suitability of sites, to companies that have actually entered the interconnection application process, it's been significant, it's been noticeable and substantial, and that doesn't even count the customers that are looking to still do it on site. So Yeah, we totally see what you're talking about.
And Peter, what about wind? Are we seeing an uptick in wind as well as a result of the Future Energy Jobs Act?
It's wind has always been a smaller number of installs. One of the challenges with wind installations, particularly with most of our customers, are it's hard to do that in an urban area. You need to get, obviously, the windmills up in the air. It's very visible. That's really challenging sometimes with community zoning laws. So we will see some wind development with regard to the distribution level voltages, which is what we primarily deal with. There are still a number of wind farms under development that interconnect at the transmission level. There's a branch of Ameren that works with the regional transmission organizations to make that happen. So I know there's some interest there. But again, on the distribution level for individual homes and businesses, most of the activity we're seeing is still solar related.
And Drake Zimmerman, your perspective on renewable energy projects coming to McLean County and the connection with the Future Energy Jobs Act.
Oh, well, where we're seeing the Future Energy Jobs Act applications come in is not so much over on wind energy, but over on solar farms. There have been two or three solar farms that have filed already, and they've gone through very smoothly and quickly. It's up to a few acres from 17 acres that would have solar panels, and they connect up to the grid, which is where they connect into Ameren. So it's been surprising how many farms applications have come in and have just gone very smoothly through that process.
So the McLean County Zoning Board of Appeals has been busy. Three new solar farms, two new wind farms being developed in McLean County. What are some of the issues important to you, the board, and McLean County when reviewing these kinds of projects?
Well, let's start off with the wind energy and solar energy and other projects like that have been approved as suitable uses within the county. So we have those in the regulations. What a committee has to do, or what a company has to do, is come show us that they meet all those regulations, which are quite thorough, very extensive, that they meet a bunch of environmental requirements that we've imposed on top of what would be the normal requirements. And so we get a book that's at least 3 inches thick, and then we hear night after night of testimony from their experts that bring in experts saying, here's how we were going to address this concern, that concern, the other. We will also introduce things like setbacks to the Mackinac River, for example, of X number of feet.
And what about concerns? You talked about the testimony you get. You also get testimony from residents. What about concerns from residents when it comes to these kinds of projects? Is there a not-in-my-backyard mentality at all?
There is a not-in-my-backyard mentality. More important to most of the people is that they don't want to have a bunch of noise. They don't want to have their viewscape impaired very much. And there are some health concerns that have been raised primarily on the internet and studied in great depth by a number of people.
On the wind side.
On the wind side. So I haven't heard of any of the health requirements over on the solar side, but we will hear night after night of testimony, and we are extremely interested in hearing that and getting the facts for it.
What do you think of the argument that these projects are taking productive land out of crop production, that the farmland is being gobbled up for solar farms and wind farms?
Well, that'd be for me over on the zoning board. One of our criteria in terms of the zoning board is to make sure that we keep this high-quality farmland, as much of it in production as possible. For anybody coming before the zoning board making an application, we want to see what they call a LISA score, which stands for soil quality, basically. Anyone who has 40 acres can just go in and do a house. But if they're subdividing up to 5 acres for, say, a relative or a friend, they need to meet the special use criteria. And we don't want the best land to go out of it. When we look at how much land the turbines are taking out, it's approximately 1 acre per turbine. And they try to keep that down as far as possible. And then they want to remediate that when the turbine's gone. So,
and Mike, one of the...
Peter Milberg with Ameren, go ahead.
Yeah, sure, thank you. One of the features of FEJA that I think will help address that factor is this aggregated net metering or community solar provision. And what that says, that provision says that these developers can install generation anywhere in our territory and connect our distribution system, and then provide the output from that generator to any of our customers, no matter where they're at. So in some ways, while we're not involved in the development of projects, Ameren doesn't own generation. We just facilitate the interconnection and help renewable development that way. way. To a certain extent, I suspect project economics will start leveling some of that out. Obviously, if you're looking at land that's $10,000 to $15,000 an acre versus land that's $5,000 an acre, and you can put the same amount of solar panels on each, typically I think the economics will work out, and customers will still get the benefit of the project. Again, simply because it just has to be in our territory, connected to our lines. So, Fiji, I think, will help address that in the long run.
And I want to make a distinction. I have someone make a distinction between community solar and utility scale solar in just a moment. But first, Rick, I want to go back to you about some land use issues.
Surely.
Isn't some of the land that we're talking about for the crops, isn't it already being used, in essence, for energy production as it is? Some of that corn, I mean, we're talking about biodiesel and ethanol, things like that.
Ethanol is more active in other areas, but in a way, like energy, when you produce a bushel of corn or a million bushels of corn in one county, it's going to go into the supply of another county. So there's a certain amount of corn, I forget exactly what percentage of the production of all corn goes into the creation of ethanol, but it's been a marginal use of corn, so it's put a whole lot more land into the production of corn. What we're looking at within the county is how can we best use the land? If we can get those solar panels to go on to marginal land, land that is not as productive for crops, that's a much better use of it. So from a community perspective, if we are pro-solar or pro-energy production, we want to have the most production of solar energy or other energy per square acre that's being used. So the solar farms are good at that. The wind farms are really great at that. And everybody works very hard to minimize the impact on the farms. There is some marginal land in McLean County, believe it or not. And those are probably the best places for those solar farms that are going up.
And how would you characterize the quality of the land of the solar farms that Cypress is looking at now? There's a couple areas near Arrowsmith and Saybrook, and another one near Downs.
Where they put those solar farms are generally pretty good land. So, as a community member, I would like to see it go on the more marginal land. There's great land out in Arrowsmith and Saybrook and those other towns. So, this is my personal opinion: is let's get the marginal land and put it into these solar panels. Where they apply is, the board will just hear wherever they want to put it. We might grade it down if it's going on really high-quality land.
Peter Milberg with Ameren.
Yeah, and Mike, again, going back to Fiji, there are provisions within the law that actually encourage development of solar farms and community solar on what's called brownfield sites. And these are environmentally distressed sites that, frankly, you really don't want to do much else with. And it's still being fleshed out, but there are provisions where there's a certain amount of renewable energy credits that have to be purchased from sites like that. And then the draft plan, or the overview of the draft plan that the Illinois Power Agency is developing to price those RECs, has a kicker, if you would, that makes RECs coming from brownfield sites even more valuable. So there are incentives in the state law to try and do exactly what Drake was talking about, which is incentivize the development of these solar installations onto land that is marginal, and frankly, really, it's going to be challenging to use it for anything else.
Shannon Fulton with Straight Up Solar. A distinction between utility-scale solar and community solar. At this point in McLean County, we're talking about the farms we're talking about are utility-scale solar.
The farms we're talking about are actually not utility-scale solar.
They are,
and it really comes down to system size. 2 megawatts AC is the largest system size to be considered distributed generation. Anything larger than that would sort of fall into the utility-scale category. So distributed generation includes these in front of the meter, quote unquote, in front of the meter types of installations that community solar represents. And then it also in that same category are these systems that are interconnected behind the meter on homes, businesses, farms, schools, things like that.
So the two farms we're talking about in McLean County are behind the meter.
They're actually in front of the meter,
okay.
But they are.
This is why you're here to explain this to me.
And the The slight difference is they're in front of the meter because essentially these farms are creating a point of interconnection,
okay.
a new point of interconnection, whereas solar on a home or business already has a point of interconnection. You're interconnecting behind that existing meter. But essentially it comes down to system size.
Okay. And Shannon, too, the solar farms... The community solar, they're going to have subscriptions, right? I mean,
that's
like you're
right.
talking about the behind the meter, all
exactly.
of it's used by the customer, but these will have to have customers.
They'll
subscribe
have off-takers, right? Yeah, they'll have subscriptions and utility scale, right? To get to that point, utility scale solar simply exports all of the energy to the grid for at a wholesale rate or at a purchase price by the utility.
So clarify for me, which are we seeing in McLean County? Are these available for a subscription?
Yes,
they are.
They are.
So it is essentially community solar.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's community solar instead of utility scale, where there is no subscription applied.
And one of the things we haven't addressed yet are RECs, or renewable energy credits. Can someone talk to me about the role those play in Fiji and making renewable energy successful in Illinois? Shannon?
The role that the SRECs play is an integral role for the Future Energy Jobs Act. It, in a sense, is the core means by which that the state, Illinois, will get to 25% renewable energy by 2025, which is really our ultimate goal with FEJA. And the SRECs, a solar renewable energy credit is the green value or the environmental value for 1,000 kilowatt hours of solar energy, for example, being produced. So in a sense, what is happening is the state, the Illinois Power Agency, is responsible for procurement of energy on behalf of the utilities. I might not have gotten that exactly right, Peter. You can clarify for me later. But and as part of that, they are also purchasing the solar renewable energy credits from individuals who go solar, whether it's through community solar or a homeowner, and retiring those credits on behalf of the state to get us to 25% renewable energy by 2025. So it is truly, the SREC program is truly the core of the Future Energy Jobs Act goals.
And Shannon, you're exactly right. And to build on that, the Illinois Power Agency in 2015 launched a previous REC program. And a REC, for your listeners who aren't aware of it, a REC is a certificate that says 1,000 kilowatt hours of power have been produced by a renewable fuel source. And so the Illinois Power Agency in 2015 launched an SREC program that I know from Ameren Illinois' perspective just kick-started the interconnection of generation in our territory. It had been going along at a pretty slow rate before that, maybe 90, 100 interconnections a year. So I think in 2014, we had about 390, 400 interconnections. Last year, we turned in our report just a month or so ago, we actually ended up with about a little over 1,000 interconnections. So from 2008 to 2014, about 400. And then from 2015 to 2017, we had 600 more. FEJA's is going to accelerate that because of the process that Shannon was talking about. Thing is the ultimate value of the RECs for these FEJA generators isn't known yet. The Illinois Commerce Commission just finished a proceeding that authorized the Illinois Power Agency to develop its plan and to set the prices for the RECs. But those prices aren't going to be known for, I believe, until early this fall.
60 days,
I think. So
they have from now.
It's, until you start seeing the prices for the RECs, we won't know for sure how many of these applications from these community solar facilities will actually be completed.
And Drake Zimmerman, you have something to say?
Well, Shannon's been had this hugely popular effort, both here in McLean County, partnering with the Ecology Action Center, and over in Champaign-Urbana, and making a lot of connections. I'd like to hear more about that, because you've jump-started the popularization, or really got it. It had already been started, but you really took it to an entirely new level with the efforts you've done in the past few years here. Would you tell us about the number of connections, the number of kilowatt hours, and other things that individuals
And I might just broad, I might just broaden that question a little bit about how FEJA has increased your business, the jobs,
sure.
as well.
Sure. Yeah, starting with the group solar programs, I think is what Drake is referring to. There have been several what we term solarize programs over the past 2 years in central Illinois and southwest Illinois. And in particular, locally, Bloomington Normal, led by the Ecology Action Center and the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, led a group solar program in 2016 that led to 400 kilowatts of solar. We had, and this is 400 kilowatts of solar being contracted in a period of 6 months. And most people don't think in terms of kilowatts, so that's about 26 people who went solar in a short period of time. But even more than that, this Solarize program, it creates a level of solar literacy in a community in a really short period of time, upon which a community can then leverage bigger ideas like solar farms, whole school districts going solar. And these higher level possibilities become real when a community has this foundation of knowledge about what solar can do. And so that concept is being expanded again. There is a 2.0 version of the Solarize program that will be happening in McLean County. The results of the RFP process should come out in the coming weeks, so we'll know who will be the contractor leading that. But kudos to Ecology Action Center for taking the lead on such an important program to develop solar literacy. And just incidentally, Central Illinois in the past 2 years, I would say, is really has more interconnection growth than in that level, like in the residential small commercial level, than much of the areas up in the Chicago area. There was a lot of pent-up demand for solar, and until people have that education and the understanding and installers begin to develop capacity to build and respond to that interest, we just hadn't seen that type of growth here. And to Peter's point, the incentives starting in 2015 really made that possible. Without the SREC programs in 2015, those Solarize programs couldn't have happened.
And the impact of FEJA on straight-up solar?
So the impact of FEJA is tremendous. We've been ramping up our team. We're at 45 people right now, and we will have added 10. We added about 10 people in the last 12 months, and we look to add another 6 to 8. It's a really great opportunity to build, to add jobs, and our company has been expanding markedly.
And Shannon, one of the important things to note is it's not just for customers of Ameren, Illinois, and other investor-owned utilities. It's for customers of co-ops and
exactly.
municipal systems as well, right?
Yes, exactly. There's been a lot of growth and interconnection in the cooperative territories. In particular, the paybacks are faster in those territories because they pay a higher cost for electricity. And so solar really is a wonderful benefit to individuals in the rural co-ops.
So someone wants to subscribe to community solar. Are they simply looking at the bottom line, do you think, or is there more to it than that in terms of how much they're going to pay for the utility bill?
Right. So straight-up solar is developing community solar as well, and we find, even for behind-the-meter customers, the vast majority, I'd say 90% of people who go solar for the financial benefits. The environmental benefits are recognized and appreciated, but that's not the decision-making factor. We're seeing, from a residential standpoint, a 7-year payback, within reason. Commercial payback is 4 years. So with those types of financials, it's hard to say no to whether you are an environmental advocate or not.
And Mike, one of the things that is going to be important for people to distinguish between the two types of programs, the behind-the-meter solar and the community solar, is the way the net metering law is set up, if you have behind-the-meter generation, In Ameren, Illinois' territory, you get both the delivery service charges as well as your supply service charges. And I think most people are familiar enough to know that the supply portion can be shopped around. You can buy that from Ameren or any one of these third-party suppliers. So if you do it on-site behind the meter, you get both of those reduced by your generation. Under community solar, it's just going to be the supply portion of the bill that gets netted. So I think that's going to factor into some of the economics as well. And you know, for people to make the decision, do I want to spend money on a subscription or do I want to spend money on a generating facility at my home or business?
Yeah, exactly. The financials are definitely better if you can afford to go solar on your own at your house and interconnect behind your meter, for the point that Peter made. And you own that for the long term. In community solar, you'll have a choice as to how long you want to contract for that subscription, which is nice. But you're going to get, the concept will be that for a subscription from a community solar project, you will be receiving your solar energy electricity for something less than you can buy it for from a different supplier. I mean, in concept, that's the sale, right? That's
so it's cheaper energy coming. It happens to be from an environmentally friendly approach. It's like what's not to like is what's coming down. The difference in the last 10 years or so has been that solar energy and wind energy have come to the price point where they compete with or are better, are cheaper than the other energy sources. So not only is going green economically sound, it's environmentally sound, it's also economically sound.
This is a live edition of Sound Ideas at the 2018 Illinois Sustainable Living and Wellness Expo at Illinois Wesleyan University's Shirk Center. On this renewable energy panel is Peter Milberg with Ameren, Illinois, Shannon Fulton with Straight Up Solar, and Drake Zimmerman on the McLean County Zone Board of Zoning Appeals. Peter Milberg with Ameren, Illinois, ComEd and Ameren now have an incentive to meet efficiency goals with bonuses for exceeding targets, penalties for falling short. What do the incentives look like for Ameren, and what are your strategies to meet those goals?
Well, the incentives, frankly, are for us to is to implement the program and achieve the amount of savings that are identified in FEJA. We actually, in our filing, any of the extra incentives in our last plan, we said we'll waive those. That's not what we're trying to do. Our most recent, we've been doing energy efficiency now for years. And one of the things that we observed was only people with disposable income were really able to take advantage of it. Even though all of our customers paid for it, regardless of whether you were low income or you're the wealthiest customer, you paid for all that. So the most recent energy efficiency program plan that we've put forward still fully spends all the money that we're required to spend. It meets the goals identified in FEJA. But we've structured it to try and provide more access for our low and moderate income customers. All the other programs stay in place. All the other customers still have access to it. But we recognize that we need to help everyone take more control over their energy usage, have everyone be, frankly, more satisfied with what they're paying. And so that's the big change that you saw in our most recent program.
Yeah, so that was is this part of the rationale for going back to the Illinois Commerce Commission and asking for a reduction in the efficiency targets for Ameren?
Actually, what we did is we went back and said we need to modify the program because of that. And when we looked at, we looked at what we had achieved before, but more importantly, who was able to participate. That's why we went back and said, okay, FEJA required us to do something different anyway to modify our plan. So we took that opportunity to say we need to restructure it and provide access to the low and moderate income customers.
About 1% of U.S. power comes from solar, about 4% from wind. Are there targets for either one of those particular renewable energy sources, or is it really just the overall overarching goal of 25% by, was it 2025?
Yeah, and it's more of an overall goal.
What other ways could you reach that, though, if it weren't for solar and wind?
There's a number of fuel sources identified. Biomass, for example, it's not so big here. Hydro, not new hydro, but existing hydro can be factored into that as well. One of the things that FEJA does, Shannon referenced before the Illinois Power Agency doing the procurements and the utilities, and they do the procurements for the utilities and pay for that. If you look, our renewable goals right now do allow for us to use out-of-state sources for the renewable energy. And I think one of the goals of FEJA was to try and bring as much of that in-state as possible. You know, so to the extent that we can meet renewable goals and the renewable portfolio standards is what they're called, by in-state resources, that's one of the goals that, that FEJA had, was to try and keep that money in-state and really, you know, make Illinois pretty much as much as possible self-sufficient with regard to its renewable resources.
And how is Illinois looking in terms of renewable energy compared with other states? Who wants to take that question?
Well, I can take it. Currently we're, down in, we're not really very high on the list, but the expectation after the implementation of Future Energy Jobs Act in the first couple of years, I wouldn't be surprised if we're not a top 10 solar state. I mean, that really, the funding level and the amount of interest that we're seeing to meet the designated goals can propel us into that position.
Mm-hmm. McLean County is already way up there. McLean County has approved, not necessarily constructed yet, more wind farms than most states have. So McLean County is way off on the front edge of generating electricity, which has to do mostly with our geography and having big infrastructure. We can hook up to the grid here. So we have the advantage, at least formerly, of having an electric car plant here in town. So Normal had more electronic car hookups. It was greener than any other city in the country for at least a while. So McLean County is way off on the front edge of this. With the solar farms coming in here, in part very accepted because of the popularization done by groups like the Ecology Action Center and Shannon's efforts, and with the cooperation of the utility companies, everything is in line to say yes to solar if and when it comes here. Now, as part of the zoning board, we will see whatever comes across our plate, and we can say yes, yay, or nay. We'll review any. We aren't here to try to promote solar or discourage any solar or wind farm. We're just here to follow the regulations. And we've just seen a lot of really great work coming across.
Central Illinois residents are sort of beginning to wonder if spring's ever going to arrive. We've had a lot of gloomy weather. How does solar actually do in Illinois, maybe specifically Central Illinois, as compared to what you might think of more of the Sun Belt, Arizona, Southern California, those kinds of areas? Shannon?
Certainly the solar resource in the Southwest is the strongest in the country. In Illinois, however, we rank nicely. We have about, I believe, 4.6 sun hours as compared to a much higher, maybe closer to 5.5 in the Southwest. But in Illinois, even though we do have these long, gloomy winters, solar works really well. And like I said, we're seeing, if you want to look at it from a financial perspective, all other things remaining equal, we've got a 7-year payback here for residential homeowners.
And one of the things that is important for people to understand is how net metering works, and that's why solar works here. And the way net metering works is the utility ends up being your battery in your bank. Most customers use about 10,000 kilowatt hours of electricity a year, right? So say you install a generator and it generates 1,000 kilowatt hours a month, and your usage that month happens to be, say 600 kilowatt hours. So what happens is that 600, you don't pay for the 600 kilowatt hours, and we put 400 kilowatt hours in your bank. Well, the next month, if it's a cloudy month or something like that, and say your generator doesn't, generate 1,000 kilowatt hours, but you still use 600 kilowatt hours, well, then we take whatever out of that bank of 400 kilowatt hours you stored up and apply it to that month's bill. So we do that throughout the year. It goes up to an annual period, and we wipe that out and start from scratch again. But solar does work. I mean, to Shannon's point and what we've seen throughout our territory, widespread development of solar, very, very popular. And because of how net metering works, people just need to install enough solar to cover their projected annual usage, and then the utility does the rest. We do the metering, we do the calculations. It's the same way with community solar. I think there's a perception, and there is some value to that, of people want to see the generator that they're getting their subscription from, and it's important, and that's fine. But again, you could have a generator located down in Carbondale and receive a subscription up here in Bloomington or Normal. It's all just done with math. You don't need to worry about the electrons actually physically flowing from that generator into your home. It gets put into the grid. That's renewable power. That's offsetting, you know, other forms of power. So it the way the law is set up and the way our billing and metering systems are set up, you know, it's very feasible, and solar, obviously, given the popularity, you know, works very well.
Yeah, community solar provides a wonderful opportunity for people who can't otherwise go solar at their home or business for whatever reason, whether it's shading concerns or income levels or profitability. It's sort of an equalizing opportunity for people who would like to participate in the renewable energy growth of the state.
And the way the law is set up, a person's subscription will follow them throughout their service territory. So say, for example, it's someone living in an apartment building, mm-hmm. and they have a subscription. Well, if they move, lose or lease, or they want to move somewhere else, by law, their subscription will follow them to their new location, so they don't have to do anything.
So how do I find out about, how do I subscribe? I mean, are these companies going to market to me?
Sure.
Am I going to get something in the mail?
Yes. Yeah, they will begin marketing, and actually, I think as one of the requirements for entering into the Solar Renewable Energy Credit Program, these farms, they have to have 50% of their development subscribed at that time. So even though the farm isn't built yet, they'll begin marketing for those subscriptions very soon, and it might look very similar to how the alternate retail energy suppliers are doing these subscriptions. You know, the town of Normal goes through municipal aggregation for their energy supply. It will probably look something like that.
So GLT reported in February that the three solar farms planned for McLean County may just be the beginning. The Illinois Farm Bureau has heard of at least 30 solar companies soliciting landowners around Illinois. Drake Zimmerman with the Zoning Board of Appeals for McLean County, what are you hearing about future projects?
I hear there are future projects, and they're all across the state. Client of mine who has a farm up in by Rockford has been approached for that. So what they're looking for are particular criteria, close to a grid, particular size of farm or plot of land that they can devote to it, and then some other economics with that. But there apparently, I don't know how many there are out there, but there are at least 30 out on their way coming into place.
And being in the Ameren, Illinois, since we're the ones who receive applications, I can tell you that we've received over 160 applications to date throughout our territory. And that's just applications. That doesn't count the number of people who've made what we call pre-applications, which is, you know, to Drake's point, I got this piece of land that looks good otherwise. How close is it to your system? You know, what can you tell me about it?
So a lot of inquiries.
A lot of inquiries out there.
You can get a lot more information of that on the Illinois or on the McLean County Zoning Board website. You can go on there. There's all this information for any application is public. So you just have to click on it. You can get the entire application, which would include a lot of the energy specifics, the mechanics of it, the finances of it. So anything that we require them to put on there is on there, but they usually give us lots more information.
So Drake, you talked about the approval process. Certainly wasn't a rubber stamp process.
No, not at all.
What stipulations did you add before Cypress Creek, the company behind the solar farm proposals in McLean County, could move forward?
They had to follow the regulations is a short answer. I was not on the board, on the panel that month. I was away doing something else. So the easiest way to answer that completely for someone who's interested is to go to the website. You can see both the application and all the minutes of the meetings and then the approval that goes on there.
Is decommissioning an issue?
Generally, that is covered as part of the regulations. We require, this is not a soft requirement, we have a hard requirement on the wind farms to put aside X number of dollars towards decommissioning.
And solar, too?
And there's also in there for solar, I believe. I haven't looked at that particular item, but we're really hard-nosed about it, and we usually get... We require X number of dollars per tower, and we usually get about 1.5 times that amount of money. I don't think it's a big issue, and they over-deliver on that.
So will these facilities be decommissioned, or just, let's stick with solar for a moment, will they be decommissioned or just maintained, upgraded? I mean, if it continues
probably
to be profitable.
Probably they're going to be maintained and upgraded.
And Shannon, what do you think?
Shannon probably knows the details of this.
I would expect so as well, you know, and One other thing to remember is the decommissioning of a solar farm is very different than decommissioning for a wind farm. With these solar installations, there's no concrete involved. These posts that hold the racking, which to which the solar panels are attached, are simply hydraulically driven into the ground. There's no, you know, additional material, foreign material, if you like. In addition to that, most of these installations will have, as ground cover, native plantings. And so when you think about the land use, and the decommissioning post 25, 40 years, whatever that is, depending on the financials in the future, the decommissioning is a much easier method, and the ground will become immediately useful again right after.
And as I understand it, McLean County actually asked for plants that would attract pollinators.
Exactly. We asked for plants for pollinators, and the decommissioning is an afternoon with a backhoe and a lot of brakes. There just isn't that much infrastructure put in there. If you have to pull out the wires, okay, maybe that's going to be, you got a trencher out there, but it's not very much. McLean County asked for pollinators underneath it. I've seen designs of these personally where the panels will have shade plants grown underneath there. So in the heavy summer, they might be growing food crops like spinach and other crops that can't take the direct sun. So they can be, if the farm has a little higher panels, people can actually farm underneath them.
How do these projects add to the property tax revenue in the county? And is the value, the increased value of that property, a result of the equipment on the land, Drake?
Equipment on the land, and if you got a business out there that is worth X number of dollars. So let's say a farm, I'm pulling a number out of the air here, is worth $1 million. Before the land was worth $100,000, after the farm it's worth $1 million. Well, property taxes are part of the equation. They have to pay some property taxes in there. That money goes into the county funds that tends to go into schools and pay for other county services.
This is Sound Ideas live at the Illinois Sustainable Living and Wellness Expo at Illinois Wesleyan's Shirk Center. On the renewable energy panel is Shannon Fulton with Straight Up Solar, Peter Milberg with Ameren, Illinois, and Drake Zimmerman with the McLean County Zoning Board of Appeals. The Trump administration policies promising an energy renaissance across coal, oil, and gas, and nuclear seems to be in direct opposition to the Future Energy Jobs Act. Are federal policies having any sort of effect in Illinois? Will they negatively impact the effect of the Future Energy Jobs Act? And I'll start with Shannon.
The tariffs do impact solar growth, for sure. But we don't see it being something that will stifle us too much. There will be a slight increase in the cost of solar modules and the racking in particular, because there are both the steel tariffs and the silicon and solar module tariffs in place. And so we'll see a little bit of an uptick in price, but we don't view it as something that is really going to stifle the solar growth expected in Illinois. And it's primarily because Illinois' incentives are so strong. If you're in a state like Kansas or some state that doesn't have strong renewable incentives or support, those tariffs hurt the growth in states like that more than they do in a state like ours.
And I was going to ask a question about tariffs. We're talking about the 30% tariff on solar panels coming from overseas.
Solar module, that's
yeah.
Right.
And that has that had any effect on Straight Up Solar at this point?
Not just yet, but it will. It will probably beginning in the next 6 months or so. We've got a certain amount of pre-purchased modules and materials pre-tariff.
And what about U.S.-made panels? Could this make U.S. manufacturers more competitive?
I think we're seeing a little bit of movement in that direction. But on the flip side, the way that these tariffs slow solar growth and solar job growth is really more detrimental than I think it, as opposed to any sort of manufacturing growth that we're going to see.
And so on the job side, you may see an increase in manufacturing jobs, but probably a a bigger loss on the installation side with electricians and
or at least a
engineers
delay.
who plan the sites.
So you've said that you put on 10 new jobs for your group, plus you're looking at 6 to 10 more positions.
Yes.
And the tariffs will actually have a negative impact on that.
It will slow. A company like ours...
But you're like still going to get going.
In Illinois, though, like I mentioned, in Illinois, we won't see as much of an impact from those tariffs, but in other states who are trying to develop more renewable energy capacity, it will really be difficult in those states to move in that direction. Mm-hmm. But truly, the state-level incentives, if they're strong right now in a particular state, that offsets a lot of the impact of these tariffs.
And Peter, how much are the incentives for that are coming in? I'd like to find out more specifically how much the incentives are from the state of Illinois and from these other acts. So if you're wanting to put a solar group in or a solar panel array in.
They do vary. The solar renewable energy credit values vary by system size. The smaller the system, the larger the SREC value. And this is all tied to the cost to install a smaller system being a little bit higher cost per watt than to install a larger system, you know, based on economies of scale. And so pretty consistently, the SREC value serves to offset about 40%, I'd say safely, 40% of the cost of the solar system.
Holy moly.
And when you combine that state incentive with the federal tax credit, that's why the payback is so fast. It's really strong. Now, on the business level, on the business side, the new tax reform law allows a business to depreciate 100% of the system in the first year. So when you combine 100% depreciation with 30% federal tax credit with the SRECs, those really, you know, enable a business to see payback within 3 to 4 years.
And Peter Milberg, anything you want to add about federal regulation impacting the state of Illinois?
Illinois is fortunate in that there have been a number of mechanisms established that already allow customers a lot of choice. So in terms of fuel supply and access to fuel supply, we really operate on a regional basis, and the procurements that are done, for example, by the IPA on behalf of the utilities, that's done looking at the region, and it really is just price-based. So to the point that Drake made earlier about renewable resources being competitive or in some cases less expensive than other fuel sources, it will have an impact. But again, I think Illinois is fortunate that there's some insulation due to the availability already of having supply choice, not just from the sources that we buy from, but you can access it from third-party retail electric suppliers as well.
And a question for everyone, where will the Future Energy Jobs Act take Illinois, and what will the rates customers pay look like as more efficiency is added and more renewable energy is added to the mix? And are we headed toward, you know, a future here where energy production is moving away or has moved away from fossil fuels? And I'll start with Peter.
Yeah, we're not moved away yet, but clearly we're heading the direction where we're moving away. And I don't know whether we will ever totally get away from fossil fuels in some way, shape, or form. Because when you look at the grid and you look at how to maintain reliability, there's value to be said for something that is dispatchable. That means you can call on it whenever you need it, no matter if the sun's shining, the wind blowing, no matter how many days it's been cloudy. So I think you'll still have some blend needed for that. However, I think it's indisputable that we are clearly trending towards a very robust renewable presence in Illinois, distributed throughout the system. It's kind of back to the future. Before you built centralized power plants, you know, people had, if they had generators at all, it would be at their farms and homes. So, again, it's something where we're seeing a lot of choice, a lot of options. And frankly, from our perspective, it's all upside for our customers.
And Drake, same question, the future of Illinois based on the Future Energy Jobs Act, what's it look like?
With a couple exceptions where the price of panels go up a little, that's probably not even going to impact it. We're going to continue to see more and more and more solar, individually generated wind power and other sources. So it's just a brave new world out there where Illinois will probably be higher, much higher on the list of states where more of our energy, especially downstate, where we have these opportunities for generating energy, will be in there.
And Shannon Fulton, you said maybe top 10, right?
I think. I'm going to put it out there.
So what's Illinois look like? And one thing we haven't really talked about is what do you think it looks like in terms of the rates customers pay as a result of renewable energy?
Oh, on the backside. Well, so there are bookends, I guess, if you want to call it that, put in place to control customer increase in costs. So, we know what those are, and I don't think that, you know, the addition of renewables, and Peter can maybe talk to it more eloquently than I can, how that really is going to impact the cost of energy. But when we do our modeling for a customer, we still expect the cost of energy to continue to go up. That's one thing that we think is a given, but as to how much, I really couldn't say. But I do think that really Illinois will be, and I'm just going to stick to it, a top 10 solar state within 5 years. I really do think that. And one of the things that the Future Energy Jobs Act did was to establish, in writing, in the law, that there is truly a value of solar to the grid. Like, all parties have accepted that as truth. That's no longer debated. What we'll see once net metering hits 3% in Ameren territory, for example, once we hit 3%, we will begin the process of evaluating what the value of solar truly is. And we will begin to shift at 5% net metering away from from this concept of net metering and toward a rebate type incentive where a customer will be paid that rebate at the time of interconnection.
And quickly, Peter, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, just what Shannon said in terms of there are caps and collars around the impact of FEJA in and of itself. But I think that what we've seen, and you mentioned the electric choice and the supply choice as being instructive, choice has brought about a tremendous stabilization, actually reduction in the prices customers pay. To have yet other choices, whether it's on-site generation or to be able to subscribe to a remote location to get your power, it's just going to present continued options, which presents continued downward pressure, I think, on prices. So just FEJA, I think, is just going to provide just tremendous opportunities across the board.
Okay, Peter Milberg is Senior Manager for Regulatory Compliance for Ameren Illinois. Shannon Fulton is the Director of Business Development for Straight Up Solar. And Drake Zimmerman is a current member of the McLean County Zoning Board of Appeals. Thanks to you for participating in this renewable energy panel and for appearing on GLT's Sound Ideas. Thanks to Michael Brown and Larissa Armstrong with the Ecology Action Center, Illinois Wesleyan University Director of Wellness, Jeremy Spencer, and Travis Metters, WGLT broadcast technologist and the audio engineer for today's show. You can find this and past episodes of Sound Ideas at WGLT.org. That's also where you can subscribe to the podcast, or you can find the Sound Ideas podcast at iTunes. We want to know what you think of Sound Ideas. Email us at news@WGLT.org or post something at facebook.com/WGLTFM. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.